In our opening prayer for today, we prayed that we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not things eternal. That's a good prayer for us and for all who make decisions in our world that touch the lives of others. There's a lot to unpack in that prayer, and we do so in the circumstances of our lives. Just the idea of passing through those things in life that we often strive for and once acquired, hold on to. There's even that phrase, hold on to it for dear life, right? Just the idea of passing through takes some getting used to. When we start to take in and understand the concept of moving through this life rather than holding on to it, we can still enjoy it to the full. But I think it also helps us live more for God and others in a way that gives us freedom and makes the world a better place. I'm reminded of the first principle and foundation of St. Ignatius of Loyola, whose feast day we celebrate this coming Tuesday, July 31st. He wrote and taught, "Our only desire and one choice should be this: I want and I choose what better leads to God's deepening life in me." And what are those eternal things that we pray not to lose? There are many, but what came to my mind were categories in a sense. There's our true humanity. Our humanity that we as Christians find not only within ourselves, but in the life of Christ as our guide, as our model, as our Savior. And our relationship with God, the things eternal. Both our humanity, as we are created in God's image, and our relationship with God are nurtured and claimed in this life when we love, right? When we love, when we share, when we forgive, when we choose justice, and when we choose each other and all our friends in God who are out there in the world, those we do not yet know personally. The account of the feeding of the 5,000, probably 12,000, right, when the women and children are counted. Yep. This account gives us a view into God's heart and who God calls us to be. Imagine crowds that you've been in or crowds that you have seen walking somewhere. Imagine marches that we've seen and maybe joined. There are the marches of the 1960s and 70s, marching for civil rights, marching for the end to the Vietnam War. There are marches that have been happening in our time. People united for a day around an issue, hoping to stay united for good, for our own good, for the good of others, for the good of the world. So the people will be safe rather than shot with guns. Just another major shooting happened in New Orleans last night, right? I wake up and so many mornings I see that news alert that someone else or multiple people in this case have been killed through gun violence. And then there's so many people we don't hear about. So we march about that. We march so that women will be empowered, know we are empowered, and stand up for ourselves, that we will be safe rather than mistreated, so that families will be united, families being ripped apart at the borders, people welcomed into our nation rather than being split up and imprisoned and sent back to a dangerous situation. Also in the news this morning, we just don't think we'll be able to reunite all those children with their parents, as if that's at all okay. You know, hey, it's just the way it is. I imagine when I think about the marches we have now and the groups of people we gather with, I imagine it might have been like that, following Jesus around from place to place as he proclaimed the good news of God, and everybody was talking about it. He's proclaiming and he's telling everyone that the reign of God is coming near, coming into being, that it is near. I imagine that being with Jesus on his journey had this sense of purpose and hope, and we're there gathered together with other people who also are following this amazing idea, concept, belief, the sense of spirituality in the world. We're there together. Then Jesus stops, maybe to show them what he's trying to tell them. Jesus asks his friend and follower Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" Then ensues a discussion about how it won't be possible. It's just not possible to feed all these people gathered here. Isn't that often our reaction? The reaction of those in power who maybe could get something done today. Isn't that our reaction sometimes to God's promises? Hard to believe they're real in the concrete world we live in. You can just hear them talking with Jesus. Sure, that would be great, but it's just not practical. It's not possible. I don't see how it can work, we often say, if only to ourselves, right, in our own time, that everyone could have enough to eat in this day, that gun violence could end, that God's creation can be cared for properly, that all people will be respected as God's own beloved. Can't you just hear them? Sure, Jesus, that sounds great, but it's never going to work. And then he says, look, here's an area where we can all sit down together, this grassy area. And they all sit down. And then into this temporal reality, using the resources of the moment, Jesus blesses the bread and the fish, and all are fed. And not just subsistence survival, but they all eat, and we are told they're all satisfied. What is the miracle? If you've been coming to our church or a church like ours for a while, you've heard the interpretation I'm about to give, but it's still new to many and worth repeating every time this story comes around. The miracle was that people shared what they had with each other, what they had brought on their journey, they shared with each other. It is inconceivable that they would have gone out there without any food at all. Just like when we go on these marches, right? Don't you think, okay, what supplies am I going to need? So they shared. What a miracle. What gave them the courage to share? Because it does take courage to share, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. For many, we have moved from viewing life as a battle for limited resources. We want to move. We want to move from that view and live instead from a perspective of abundance. Well, back then, they had Jesus right there to help them, to be courageous. And then they had each other, the gathered community, living into this way of being, sharing and loving. Don't you think that we as a country would do immigration differently if we could move through things temporal and hold on to things eternal? If we lived like we actually believe in God, actually believe in the abundant life we have in and through God, there's enough, there's abundance. And when we share, we see that there's so much more than we even imagined, right? It's the amazing thing. Immediately after Vacation Bible School concluded, we took down our VBS banner and we put back the banner that is in front of our church right now, which says in English, Spanish, and Arabic, "No matter where you are from, we are glad you're our neighbor." By the way, this banner, the last time it was up, was vandalized twice. Somebody came, the banner wasn't actually hanging as high up or as taut, and it was a little lower, and somebody came and turned up, the Arabic's on the bottom of the banner, they turned up the Arabic so you couldn't read it. So I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks on vacation, and I hope all of you will watch the banner. And if anything happens to the banner, because now they probably have to cut it or spray paint it or something, call the police, call the newspaper. You know, that is not acceptable. But it shows why it has to be there, why we need it. No matter where you're from, we are glad you're our neighbor. And glad we should be, for by welcoming all, we are blessed. Everyone's blessed. So often we have what's called the diagnosed patient, where we look with pity and compassion on them, whoever they are, usually people in the minority, and feel that we in the majority are the ones with agency. But that is such a limited and wrong-headed understanding of our human situation. We are actually all sitting together on the same grass. We're all there together with so much to share. Everyone with so much to share. And Jesus invites us all to sit down on this grass and share what we have. And we see it. Imagine it in your mind. All the people of all the world, of all the different races and creeds, and everyone who looks so different, and those who look the same, all together sharing. What's that like in your mind's eye? Everyone shares, and all are enriched. We had a wonderful prayer today in our reading from Ephesians, and I would like to use part of that right now as a way to ground ourselves in some of what I've been sharing. Let us pray. Let us pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Amen.